Hi guys, welcome to Timeline Podcast. This is our fourth episode and I'm super excited to be bringing this back to you. Hopefully you've enjoyed our previous two episodes where we delve into my personal timeline and also Charlie's timeline. However, if you have no idea what Timeline Podcast is all about and you're new around here, go back, listen to our first episode where we explain to you what Timeline Podcast is all about. So without further ado, let's get into the big topic today, which is, Charlie?
Today, Tim, we're going to be talking about YouTube in 2020.
Yeah, so I think in the past two episodes when we talked about our personal timelines, YouTube was a big topic. One of the things that crossed over between your journey and my journey, and the thing that I guess brought us both together, was YouTube. And we have so many friends and so many people in our network that are, well, I guess we've known through YouTube, and some of the people that we want to interview and get on this podcast in the future episodes will, I guess, mainly be talking about their YouTube careers.
Yeah, it'll be creators. It'll be people within the production sphere, people not necessarily who are creating on the platform, but it could be directors. It could be other producers. It could be soundies. You know, YouTube isn't just, you know, what you see on the app itself. There's a lot of stuff which goes into making a video. But I think today we're just going to talk about how perhaps the YouTube landscape has changed and shifted over the past couple of years, who we're kind of watching or what inspires us on the platform, everything really that goes into making a video. You know, you can talk about your experiences. I've obviously just started a YouTube channel in 2020. Is it worth it? let's discuss.
Yeah. So where should we begin? I guess it might be cool to talk about, I guess, my YouTube experience and then a bit about your YouTube experience. And then we can go into, is YouTube worth it in 2020? What gear you might need?
I mean, there's obviously other apps which are pretty relevant, especially right now, like the takeover of TikTok and all that. Like,
we're talking about YouTube here.
I know. But I think ultimately we're not going to be like, is YouTube worth it in 2020? Like, of course, like, we both love YouTube. It's, you know, I was literally just watching it just now. So yeah, let's talk about where you began. Where did it all begin for you, your first video?
Yep. So I actually haven't even spoke about this on YouTube, about why I make YouTube videos, but essentially where it started for me was I wanted to capture memories. I was actually going on a trip one summer to like help kids in Portugal. So like a children's camp, completely voluntary trip. And I was into photography then. I was sort of into video, and I thought it would be a really great idea if I sold some notebooks, and then with the proceeds and the profits from these notebooks, I would then bring out to these children. So these children were from like poor backgrounds, charities were helping them, and I wanted to bring money. But then also with the money, I wanted to help this place film like promotional videos. So then that's what I did. I just thought, why not? I'll just start vlogging. I was watching like Fun for Louie, Steve Bicker at the time, I think. And I just thought this could be fun. I just buy a small camera, tell people, you buy this notebook. Here's the hashtag. Here's my YouTube channel. If you want to see where your money's going. And at that time, I really thought charities, it's hard to show where you're giving money to. So if you give me £3 for this notebook, if it's £2 that's going towards these kids, you can see, it doesn't matter if you buy one notebook, it doesn't matter if you buy 20 notebooks, I want to show you where your money's going. So then that's where it kind of all started. I posted a video online to say, this is the fundraiser, let's get this like sold out as much as possible. And that summer I just brought a camera and started recording.
Oh, wow. So you sold notebooks and then basically from the proceeds of that,
yeah,
it all went back into the charity, and then you filmed for them. And
yeah, so back then I just invested in, what was I shooting back then? 550D, maybe 550.
Was this before your G7? Do you have a G7X?
I had a G7X, but this is before my G7X times. So then I was just shooting on this really random Canon camera, like a PAR.
I had a 550D.
I don't think I had a 550D. I can't remember. I'll have to look back. I had a decent enough camera, I had a decent Canon camera anyway, to be able to shoot 50mm 1.8 nifty 50 lens, and then had like a really wide angle for crop sensor. Yeah, at that point I just thought, right, And that's just...
Had you used a camera before then?
Yeah, like I dabbled, but I mean, compared to right now, like I just, this is so basic. It was like uni days of just starting out and trying stuff.
Yeah.
Not really knowing the 180 degree rule and just like whatever worked in the camera.
Put it on auto.
Yeah. Well, essentially just like, just shift anything that works. So it doesn't matter what frame rate it was. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, low the aperture was, just whatever I could make to make it look nice on my screen. That's what I did. No slow-mo.
You understood the concept of a vlog though, when you went out there.
Yeah, it was more like implementing what like Steve Booker, Ben Brown, all them people were doing.
Yeah.
And then implementing that into my own kind of style.
Yeah. Yeah. So those creators, I mean, I kind of followed them at the time. It was the whole Jackscap era of when they went to India and did all that, the road trip and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I don't think a lot of people know. I've started rebranding my channel a little bit here and there in the past couple of months. So a lot of the videos have been taken down. Unless you watched them previously, then you would still have the link. But obviously, that was what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the first video on my official channel is something I recorded at a Glee concert maybe 12 years ago. So.
Wow.
Which yeah, so probably is taken down for copyright now, but...
Yeah, it's come a long way for sure. And then after that, I moved to London. So really briefly, I moved to London, bought a G7X, and same again, I just wanted to document memories. I feel even right now, a lot of the videos I make, it's just about documenting memories rather than, right, let's narrow down and niche down to what my channel should be about.
But I guess conversations that we've had over the past couple of years, it's always been centered around a strategy-ish. It's always like, should you niche down? Should you find, you know, because I think, especially for vlog creators, it's very centered around what you do during your day. Whereas if you do niche down, then you kind of have a specific audience who are into that specific thing. So let's take, like Becky and Chris have niched down into helicopters and, you know, home design and cameras and stuff like that.
Is that really a niche though, if that's three things?
Well, I mean, they could just niche into helicopters and then be that, but I don't know, you know, Becky's one of my favorite YouTubers, so I'm just bringing that up.
One of your favorite YouTubers that you don't follow on Instagram.
Don't call me out. Minimalist, another episode.
But still, one of your favorite YouTubers that you don't follow on Instagram or Twitter, perhaps.
Trying to tone down how much time I spend on there. I do.
She says
I do
it's
check
one of her
in.
Favorites. Sure.
I'm one of those people who I might
probably
not follow
you. Subscribe to her channel.
I do, Becky. If you ever listen to this episode, I do. But yeah, the importance of niching down. Do we think in 2020 you should, if you start a channel, you should niche into something? Because what would you say are your three things if you had to pinpoint?
Travel, lifestyle, and tech.
Yeah.
I think niching down is super important. Mm-hmm. I just personally don't. But I know if I did niche down, right? If I niched down today and said, this is the only kind of videos I'm going to make and not going to go far left or far right of it, then I think my channel could grow so quickly.
What would you want to niche into? Tech?
See, that's
how many views is your desk video on now?
I don't know, 270K. Something like that. I don't check
seen
every day.
Tim's desk video. And this was back when you lived in your previous flat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This isn't even the desk video. We need to do the desk video for this flat.
Yeah, it's 221K.
221K.
And then other desk videos. But that was a special moment where YouTube just caught it and then it just went around. It wasn't even a proper desk video, but if you've seen it, you know the video I'm talking about and you know the videos that I'm talking about. But if you asked me as a new YouTuber or you asked me as a young, like I'm still really young, like YouTube wise, I've only got maybe 7,000 subscribers, which is a lot for a lot of people. But in terms of the realm that I'm in right now, it's very small. But if you asked me today, or if you're a business or you wanted to start a channel, and you ask me, should I niche down? I would tell you 100% you need to niche down. And that's the only way to grow if you niche down. And then after you niche, you can maybe explore new things and start implementing new things in.
Yeah.
But just my personal opinion on YouTube is if I want to make an unboxing video of tech stuff one day, I want to just make an unboxing video that day.
Yeah.
If I want to make a travel video, I'll just make a travel video.
I guess that's where like lifestyle is very broad in that sense. Because when you say you're like a lifestyle, I mean, what does lifestyle actually mean lifestyle, for people who don't know? If you're like, I'm a lifestyle creator, what does that mean?
Well, in my eyes, a lifestyle creator is just filming your life and finding interesting things or making the mundane interesting.
I find it could cover anything. It could cover minimalism, coffee, fashion, like what car you drive.
That's like, essentially it. Like if you look through my channel, there's unboxing videos, tech videos,
travel videos,
coffee videos, minimalism videos, cleaning videos, home decor videos.
Yeah.
To an extent of what you can do in a London flat when you can't decorate much.
Yeah.
And just like life, eating videos, food.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so much. That's like lifestyle.
Yeah. But I guess for people who are thinking about starting a channel, for someone like myself, I think for a long time it was like, should you even go on YouTube? Because there's, you know, the people who have blown up are kind of, you know, living their lives through YouTube now. Mm. Like it's a massive thing. But on the other hand, for those, you know, kind of cynics being like, don't start a channel. At the same time, there is so many people now watching YouTube. It's not like it was super, you know, not unheard of, but back in like 2008, 2009, 2010, like brands weren't really on YouTube. No one really paid much attention to it. It was just like, who are these kids in their bedroom filming? And no one really was watching. But now all of a sudden, like YouTube is the biggest, well, second biggest search engine in the world. Like,
yeah.
It's huge. So I think there's so many eyes on the platform now and there's absolutely room for everyone. You know, not everyone is into one specific thing, but there is always going to be someone out there who is interested in what you're doing and what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. You don't even have to talk. Do you have a YouTube channel?
No. I mean, even like talking about the whole niching down thing, like Craig Adams is obviously someone who I follow a lot and who you follow.
She doesn't follow him on Instagram either.
He deleted his Instagram.
And Twitter. Doesn't even subscribe. It just comes up on the page.
No, I always watch Craig. But he's someone who, again, I guess was a kind of lifestyle. He lived in New York, did travel, did a load of things, but then he's niched down into hiking videos and he is booming. That's an example of someone who's pivoted.
Mm.
But anyway.
Yeah, niching, not really for me yet. I have thought about it a lot though. But my advice is if you want to start a YouTube channel, you should niche down to something.
Yeah. Because
it does work. YouTube likes it.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever. I'm just doing what I want to do.
What's the most recent video you posted?
Good question. There should have been a video posted today, but I just really couldn't be bothered this weekend. It's such a struggle having to figure out what a video I want to make now rather than just going out. So my last video was a birthday video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then before that, it was just like random videos we just made in the house.
Typically a British summer for you, you'd be out,
the time.
Out grabbing food, meeting people.
It's almost even weird now because I cycled into central London yesterday and I actually think it'd be weird if I had a camera and just like took it out.
Yeah.
That sounds really weird to say, I took out my camera. Yeah. But essentially if I had a camera and I tried starting to vlog in public, I think that, I don't know, it's almost a frowned upon-ish just because of
it is the current climate, yeah.
COVID but thing.
I think, I mean, I've seen a few people out and about doing some recordings. I think it is going to start picking up again, obviously. But yeah, like right now, making videos outside the house would be a little strange, but give it a couple of months. I'm sure things will bounce back up again.
Yeah. Like I would love to set my camera somewhere, cycle past it and then pick it up again and then do all that. But I just find, yeah, because of coronavirus, it's just a bit odd to do.
Mm.
Don't know.
Yeah. I go into how much time is actually put into a YouTube video. I don't think people really realize how long you could spend.
Oh yeah, I actually had a really good chat about this with someone the other day. I cycle, like, again, I've recently bought a bicycle and I'm cycling everywhere. But someone I know lives about 15 minutes away from here and I cycled to their house outside and was like waving outside and we had a quick chat like from their front door and I was on the road. Basically, they're like a PT and I was asking about, oh, it'd be cool if we could do something together and if I could just like get super fit and healthy and for us to train. And then he said, oh, I don't know how you do it. It must take so long to make a YouTube video with all these angles. Like, if I want to do something, I just want to get it done. And it's like, similarly, people don't understand a 6 minute video could take me, I guess for every creator, but for myself, it could take me maybe a whole day just to make a 6 minute video. And it might just be simply, I'm cleaning my room, but cleaning my room and trying to figure out what angle to get and try to make things look interesting. A simple task could take forever.
Yeah.
Like back when we used to travel, simply entering a hotel room that I knew that I was getting either for free or on discount, or we were working with a company, that entrance into one hotel could take, normally a normal person walking in, it would take them like 2 minutes. Let's dump our bags and let's go. But no, we would spend like an hour and a half just to walk in the room, leave the room, put the camera somewhere, walk back in the room, leave the camera somewhere else, do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
it was like a power video in Belfast, you remember? Met up with those people, it's like we're walking through the door, but you got to get that first opening the door shot and then put the camera down. We're all waiting outside, and then it's the next bit of walking through the door.
I can't even remember.
It's all in terms of, it's like a film, right? You direct, you have like different, you have a shot list and you hit the different shots. Like when you're watching a Netflix show, you're never just watching one angle. There's going to be five or six different angles that you see of the same shot. And it's exactly like that. I think if you put effort into a video, and those creators who do put more effort in get rewarded, because, all right, there are plenty, plenty creators out there who just sit and do, you know, in the bedroom or wherever in the house, sit down type of videos. Mm. And that's totally fine. Like that's their...
I would love to do that though. I think that'd be so nice just to like just sit down,
yeah,
press record and then just edit it.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And but then, I've like chosen the hard life.
Well, I guess it's just like the people that we've been watching, especially over the years, have just, you put a bit more effort in, and I find it is more rewarding to watch, like especially if you've got a shot with B-roll or if they're talking about something and then you see a shot of that place or you see a shot of that, you know, town photograph, anything that just makes it a bit more, I guess, spicy in a video. It's just more appealing.
It's interesting talking about shots. So... would you like to take a shot right now?
Absolutely not. Can I just say I haven't drunk anything really during quarantine? Let that be known for all those out there. Charlie isn't drinking.
Yeah. That's what
I'm not.
That's lies.
It's not.
But talking about getting different shots, if you were starting a channel right now, I feel like a lot of people hinder about starting a YouTube channel or filming something because they all think, oh, right, I don't have the right equipment.
Yeah.
And talking about equipment, I do need to film a YouTube video talking about the equipment I use, but I feel like right now it's changing almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Since, well, post-March, everyone pretty much is making stuff now on either their mobiles or, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm dealing with at work, it's asking people, hey, do you have a camera?
But do you think equipment matters?
I think that's the big question. No, like, okay. Because this is why I put off making videos and doing a channel for a long time, because I didn't really have camera equipment. Like, I would either be borrowing yours, borrowing John's, borrowing Work's. I didn't have a camera. And so I kind of used that as an excuse. And it shouldn't have been an excuse, because absolutely not. I do not think you need a Sony, you know, a Sony A7 III. They are amazing cameras. But do I think you need one to tell a story? Absolutely not. No. But do they make the story look better? Yes. And that is the issue. You either invest, but, you know, let's say you've got an amazing camera. If you don't tell the story right, then what's the point? You could have a mobile phone and tell a story in a really great and creative way. And there's like the iPhones nowadays shoot amazing. Like Lady Gaga shot one of her recent videos on it. I totally get that there is a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes into that edit. But at the same time, if super, super like A-list celebs are doing vlogs and doing music videos using an iPhone, like what is stopping you from making something? Nothing.
There is. It's you.
It's you.
You're stopping yourself. But I guess, well, if you've got the money to buy the stuff, then why not? Right?
Yeah, I guess. But what's the point in buying something if you don't know how really to use it or how to utilize it to its best?
Well, then you look it up on YouTube and learn how to use it.
Another reason to stay on YouTube. I don't know. You had this conversation the other day, like, once you start buying kit, you never really stop.
Oh, it's such a bad thing. Once you buy kit, you actually never stop, because I think if you have an iPhone or an Android phone right now and you start making videos on that, there will be some stage that you will think, right, I want to buy a camera. Even if that's a compact camera, a mirrorless camera, or DSLR, there'll be at some point where you think, I want to upgrade, because having my phone run all day, my battery's going, I want a different thing in my pocket.
Yeah.
Then you buy that. Then you buy a memory card. Then you buy a tripod.
And you buy a light.
Yeah. And then maybe you invest in a light for home filming.
And invest in sound. You need a mic.
Yeah. And then all these small things and small accessories, extra batteries.
Card reader.
Yeah. Cases for your things, protective things so it doesn't get broken.
External hard drive.
Yeah. And then it just slowly adds up. And then the more you get into it, even if you see growth in your work or no growth, you slowly, it's like when you have an iPhone, like for example, a lot of iPhone users or mobile phones in general, once a new model comes out, you want the new model. Similarly to...
But the camera, to be honest, all right, the camera on the 11 Pro is great. Is it that substantially different from the X? I mean, you've got the wide angle, yes, but I don't know.
Wide angle and sound quality. So yes.
But this is the thing. If you're a mobile, yes, get the new one.
I'm the worst person.
There we go. But no, like, I think still, I mean, you can still tell, right? If you film on a mobile, generally,
yeah,
you can still tell on a YouTube video if it's filmed on a mobile or if it's filmed on a camera, like a DSLR, nice camera with a lens.
Yep.
Not like a flip out. But I guess let's come back to the topic of YouTube in 2020. Because yes, like, we could talk about kit. That'll be another episode for another day. So,
okay, you write that down.
From Canon to Sony. My journey.
I'm actually going back to Canon. I haven't told you yet.
Full circle. All right. Where would you say your biggest growth has been from that video when you went to Portugal right at the very start? Was it Portugal or Spain?
Portugal,
yeah. From there up until now, what would you say are like a couple of learnings or like something that you know that you've definitely improved on, changed on, what you think is important now compared to then?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because when you start, right, you don't really, you must have grown so much, like what you put into a video now, like the tags might be different, the titles might be different, the thumbnails.
But the process wise?
Yeah. I mean, right at the start, did you just do sit like, I'm just going to talk to the camera and then next? Like now,
no, I just carried the camera around and filmed any. Oh, I don't know if this is a bad word, but I just filmed any shit that happened. Like, I literally had the camera in my pocket all the time. So if I thought, oh, this might be cool to film, then I'll just like walk with the camera or like take the camera out while we eat and then just film something. And then
you didn't think about like the way it looked or
no, just like literally holiday snap, just whip the camera out, press record, and then film something that might happen then. And then it was all about just at the end, just mashing it together and just having a memory of the day.
What do you use to edit? Final Cut?
Final Cut.
Okay.
I use Premiere now, just if who's wondering. I did download Final Cut the other day just to have a look, but then I've deleted it now. I guess the main thing, the concept now is probably a bit different. I don't film everything. I film bits of things, and then the biggest improvement would be my editing time. Like, I can edit super fast if I really wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, give or take, everyone probably has different views on my editing style and my videos. But overall, the feedback I've been given back is like, I'm super fast and efficient.
Yeah. How long does it take you to normally edit? If you were sat down like in the zone, how long would it take you to edit a 10-minute vlog?
My 10-minute vlogs or someone else's 10-minute vlog?
Okay, do you answer both?
My 10-minute vlog, at a push to shove, I can maybe, with an export and upload, under 2 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 hour is the fastest I've ever done one.
Yeah.
That's even when I'm traveling and doing something at night and then wanting to get that either exported it and uploaded it. So it's doing it while I sleep. And then when I get up, it's another new day.
Okay.
For someone else, if they are a sit down person, it could take me maybe 3 or 4 hours without feedback to get that initial draft.
Yeah.
And then maybe a couple more hours after just to feel it out in terms of what they might want changed. And then that kind of like process.
Okay.
But a bit longer, just because if they don't have it scripted out, then I have to create the story without knowing what the story they really wanted in their head while they were filming.
You have to watch everything, right? And see what they're talking about and understand
So if they've recorded for 60 minutes, it would take me 60 minutes just to understand everything.
Yeah.
Then maybe another 60 minutes to go through it all. And then another 60 minutes just to like chop that down again. And what, like, you have to watch everything to get the overall picture and then rewatch.
Okay. Here's a question for your videos. Do you find edit before? Do we find edit before?
What am I on about?
I've had a pint of coffee this morning. Do you find music before, or do you like
coffee with alcohol?
Or do you edit it and then find music afterwards?
A bit of both.
Okay.
Ideally, the best method is, there is no best method. Sometimes if I'm going somewhere or doing something that I'm like, okay, this is the track I've been given either by the client, or this is the track that I've been given that needs to be used, or this is a track I really like and I feel like we fit really well. So let's say today I was making a video about my day and I listened to a song yesterday and I thought, right, this song is the song that gives me good vibes or bad vibes or just the right mood.
Mm.
And I want to use that song. Then I'll have that song in mind to then when I film, I'll know what I might need to film to make it work with the song.
Yeah.
And similarly, if a client gave me the song, I would listen to the song and say, this is a song I need. So I'll shoot two things that might work with the song. But then personally for myself, I just film stuff and then find music after that might work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been doing. But I have been downloading a lot of tracks that I'm like, oh, this has got a good beat. Might use this at some point.
Yeah, but most like Music Bed and Epidemic Sound, you can create playlists. So I normally just have playlists of songs that I want to use and kind of break it down if it's for home stuff or if it's future things or inspo, and then I'll filter through that.
Yeah.
Mm. But I actually think like if you are listening to this and you've been considering wanting to start a YouTube channel or started making videos, even if it's on like Instagram, just video in general, I definitely would encourage you to get going. I feel a lot of people don't want to make that start to make it happen. And what I've been actually telling a few people in the past couple of months is you should just do it. Forget about uploading onto YouTube. Forget about uploading anywhere. But just the idea of just fail. Like if you want to be a YouTuber or just a lifestyle vlogger or unboxing, whatever niche that you think you might want to get into, just turn the camera on, press record and just do it. And then maybe if you have time, edit it. And then maybe you have time, find some music to complement it. And then you don't even have to upload it anywhere. It just watch it back at some point and then, or just leave it in your computer a couple of weeks later, then watch it back and then maybe do the same thing again. Yeah. But I feel that everyone has that like wall stopping them, which is I need to upload something so people can see it or other people will see it and other people will judge it, rather than let me just jump over this wall and just record something and forget about the tech side of things, but just make that initial start to get you running.
Yeah. And there's plenty of free software out there as well. You've got iMovie, you've got Windows Movie Maker, you've got clips on an iPhone, like InShot. There's so much you can use to actually edit, even if you don't think, if like that's what's holding you back, like the actual financial side of things. There is so many free pieces of software and free apps that you can use just to get started. And like, if you go through and like look at all the top YouTubers and top, you know, TikTokers, top creators, like,
you really like TikTok.
I don't actually have TikTok. I'm just saying, like, it's big right now. We need to include it in the pod.
Secretly, she's a TikTok star.
No, but like, you look back at their first videos. You look back at Alfie Days' first video, like, what his, it's just him clicking his fingers and changing into different t-shirts.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I have no idea.
Oh, I find it fascinating going back onto people's channels and going, you know, when you click like most popular or like newest video? Oldest. I always go back onto their oldest to see like their first video. I would recommend if you're starting out, just go back and be like, okay, yeah, this is what they started out doing. Like every...
When can we see your oldest video? There we go.
When Timeline gets 100k downloads.
All these things. That you, sure?
Yeah, let's do that. 100k downloads.
I don't believe that's true.
No one wants to see that stuff.
Why not?
Because it's terrible.
All this chat.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, yeah, I'm being very... I mean, yeah, you can't really find my old stuff. But anyway, the whole point I'm trying to make is that like the top creators out there had to start somewhere. Everyone has to start somewhere. You can't just be like, you know, got 5 million subscribers overnight. It takes dedication. It takes effort. Every now and then, yes, someone will give you a bit of a leg up and will give you a shout out or something that will help kind of boost your subscribers or just boost viewership in a way, like Sarah Dietschy with Casey Neistat. Like everyone kind of might have had a little bit of a push here and there, or you know, talking about the British creators that we used to watch, they were all kind of in the same circle. So they all kind of lifted each other up at that same time. And there's a lot to be said for how that all works. I mean, we've had conversations about that in the past, about how important it is to have like a little community, because then all those groups essentially have the same-ish audience, or they might have an audience which doesn't subscribe to someone else, but then they might then get tied in with their audience and, you know, you grow from there. But I just think it is about the whole process of just starting, just making stuff. Like Matt Diavella didn't have pretty much any viewers until a couple of years ago, but he was just making stuff day in, day out, just making stuff, putting stuff out. And then all of a sudden someone will find you, or someone will give you a boost, or YouTube will push you in the algorithm.
Yeah, I think you just need to get it done. It's the same with a lot of things in life. You just need to make that initial leap, and then
it's literally like, even if you're not a creative, let's say you've been wanting to fix your house up for a while, you want to change, I don't know, your kitchen, you want to redo the garden, you want to get a new job. A lot of the time it is just like making that call and being like, okay, I'm just going to do it, because you've got nothing to lose. Literally, you've got nothing to lose in life.
Oh, wow. That went deep there. You have nothing to lose, guys.
You don't. I mean, life is sadly short, and all of a sudden you're nearly 30 like me, and you're like,
yeah, it's actually interesting.
Back at your life.
We chat about all this stuff, because when I say we should niche, I wonder if I started a new channel today and I niched down into, like, let's say cameras or unboxing cameras and talking about different lenses and just going through like rental houses and getting a lens for a week or like a day just to like unbox that box. I wonder how well a channel would do. There have been people online, like I've skimmed across that, might have started this year with zero subs and now they have like 500k or...
Yeah. So many people have asked me that, actually. I mean, I'm not like a wealth of YouTube knowledge. There's so much that goes into that algorithm and I have absolutely no idea how it all works. But a few people who have...
But did you not used to work at YouTube?
Yeah, but I don't... No one knows all this stuff. This is the thing. Like, if someone's looking for an answer...
Like, I'm cracking up here.
Okay, the YouTube algorithm is not one thing. Your algorithm is different to my algorithm, is different to my sister's algorithm, is different to my boss's algorithm. Like everything is different. There is no one algorithm.
What's algorithm?
Okay. Everyone should know this, but like,
if you're listening, you should know, but I'm taking the piss.
If you watch a minimalism video, or if you watch a video on bananas or something, I don't know why it's how to make bananas, a peanut butter sandwich, the algorithm would then be like, oh, this guy's interested in bananas, I'm going to push another video. That's how it works. So there is no algorithm. There's no like one thing to be like, I need to get into the algorithm. Yes, there are probably certain things that software engineers in the States program into pushing a certain thing at a certain time. Marcus Brownlee said the other day, his video that he posted 5 years ago is now being pushed by the YouTube algorithm.
Do you follow him?
I think I subscribe to him. But I follow him on Twitter.
Do you? Guys, good check.
I do. But isn't that strange? Like, I don't know.
It is strange. It came up on my suggested that I should watch his old video, his first one.
What was the point at hand? I've now gone completely off subject. I can't remember. We were basically just talking about starting, just doing it.
It's only been 3 minutes.
What was I talking about? I'm going to listen back and be like, oh, that's what you were talking about. And I've completely forgotten.
Channel, niching down.
No, it's gone.
Okay. Wow.
It's gone. It's left my brain.
On that note.
No, what should we say to end? What should we give the people? Give the people what they want.
Well, I guess this whole episode has been about YouTube in 2020.
I think that's what I was going to talk about. No, this was it. That's what I was saying. Some people have messaged me saying, is it better? Let's say they've had a channel which has got maybe 60,000 subscribers, but they haven't really uploaded to it for the past couple of years, but it's still stagnant with like 50, 60K.
Yeah.
A lot of people around that have messaged me saying, should I start a brand new channel or should I continue with the channel as is? And to be honest, I don't really have that answer. I've said that to people before, but I don't know if YouTube is more favorable, let's say, to people who just start today, create a brand new channel, and then boom, off you go, keep uploading. Or if, let's say, you're a channel that has been making content for 5, 10 years, but has kind of staggered around the 100K mark, should you then pivot to rebrand that channel and go from there? Or should you start a new channel? I don't know.
Pivot and rebrand, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I think people are way too caught up about the algorithm and way too caught up about numbers. If you have a channel that has like 50K subs already and you want to revive that channel, then revive that channel. I don't think there's any point of starting new channel.
Yeah.
But if you're going to wipe that whole channel and delete all the videos off it, then yes, maybe start a new channel.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to pick up and continue, like,
it's still 50,000. I mean, not necessarily all those people will be watching. No, because people are subscribed and they won't necessarily watch. A lot of people that I've been watching, I'm not subscribed to. I'm not ashamed to say that. It's what I'm interested in.
You're the problem.
Yeah, I am.
You're the problem in all our analytics.
You know, Mr. Beast is always just like, I always get the story from him being like, you're not subscribed to my channel, but you watch my content. Subscribe.
I subscribe. Mr. Beast.
Okay. Let's do a quick couple of creators who you follow and you're interested in. I already know a couple that for you, if you don't say them.
Oh, really? I don't follow that many people
on
YouTube.
Can I guess the ones that I think you would say? I think you would say Mr. Beast, Yes Theory, and probably a tech one that I don't follow.
Oh, really? I only actually subscribe to, I think, 20 channels.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Beast, Yes Theory. I love Yes Theory stuff. I would love to meet them someday.
Mm.
It'd be great. Casey Neistat, this guy called Matt Does Fitness.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people, my friend Jenny, who runs Digital Voices, posted, they do like a really cool thing on their Instagram stories where they shout out creatives, different YouTubers, sorry, from the people who work at Digital Voices, then shout out. And Matt Does Fitness was one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Loads of people watch him.
Yeah, that's really it. Yeah.
Okay. So I've natted on about, I think it's very obvious who my favorite.
You don't even subscribe to them. Becky and Chris.
Becky and Chris.
Matt Diavella.
Matt Diavella.
Sorella Moore.
Yeah, I like Sorelle actually. Yeah. Only recently I've only got into her. I don't know. She's just moved to Iceland. So
only recently.
All right. I've been watching her for years, but Sorelle's doing cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Well,
I completely shot you down throughout this whole podcast.
You don't follow anyone. I think I just got a shout out to all my female creators out there, I think, because YouTube as a female is probably another conversation that I'd like to have at some point, and the whole gender thing.
Yeah, it'd be good to have another female creator, actual well-established female person.
Yeah, because like the guy, I follow a lot of guys and I'm part of the problem, and I love watching guys on YouTube, but
you don't subscribe to them. You watch
The women get my sub. No, if you're,
that's probably more true actually.
I think it's very difficult because a lot of, like Sarah Dietschy, for example, is a tech creator, and it's very rare to get a female tech creator.
I was going to say Justine.
And there's another creator. What's her name? She makes...
Atola Visuals.
No.
He's another tech person.
I've forgotten the person.
What does she make?
She's an inventor. She's in the States.
No idea.
It's going to come to me at some point. Anyway. Okay, right. Let's recap then. So YouTube in 2020, is it worth it?
100%. If your mind is in the right place and it's not about the money, it's just about having fun, then 100% do it. It's just a hobby. I mean, a lot of people ask, is it worth it? A lot of people ask, oh, should I make a channel? Should I make videos? I'm like, just do it. If you want to do it, then just do it. Like, stop making excuses and just, can't swear, but just go and do it.
I agree. Hence me finally starting in 2020.
Like, honestly, the only thing that's holding you back from a lot of things in life is you. And if you believe that you can do it, then you will be able to do it easy.
Yeah. And don't get too caught up. Again, this is probably another conversation in itself. But if you keep watching people and keep watching people and keep watching people and don't make anything,
yeah,
then you're kind of just feeding into the whole, you know, comparison situation. I think you've got to be a point where, yes, you watch people for inspiration. 100%. I watch me Matt Diavella and Craig Adams and Casey Neistat for inspiration. But there's got to come a point where I know that I'm not ever going to be them because they are them already.
You're just going to be you. But
yeah,
I think also on top of what you're saying, your first video is going to be shit. And I don't care how amped you are in your first video, but let's be honest, that first video, you're going to look back and it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But similarly, when you watch these other creators and other people on YouTube, they've got so many years experience. It's like, imagine you're running a marathon. They have so many years of training done. And some of them might come from different backgrounds. So they might have a past education on filmmaking and storytelling. They're already completely on a different up than you. And if you're just starting, you just need to keep making and keep training yourself. And the more you train yourself, the more you upload, the better you'll get, the better you'll understand the platform, the better you'll understand everything else.
Yeah.
And then the rest is history. You're just going to enjoy life. You might become a big YouTuber. Yeah. Like, or if not, you can pivot off and do something else because of YouTube, which is, I guess, a bit of what I've done. I've pivoted off a little bit and done something else. So that's why
videos aren't regular. But that experience that you've got from uploading to YouTube is super valuable, especially for a company who might not necessarily understand how it all works, how you upload a video, how it's important to cross-market everything. It is. Practice makes perfect. And that, I think, is the key finding from this episode.
Yeah. So I hope you guys really find this useful and valuable. Certainly it was super interesting just to chat about it. It actually would have been interesting chatting about why I stopped uploading. There's honestly so many things we...
Why you stopped uploading?
Yeah, I stopped uploading after that video got so many views and hits.
I remember actually us having this conversation because I think you were just like, what do I do? What do I do after this?
Yeah, the video just went kind of viral.
It's like when you're a music artist and you release like a multi-platinum billion-dollar selling record and then you're like, what do I make after this?
In hindsight, I should have just kept uploading and did more. But that's all in hindsight and I can't really look back. It's just about progressing forward now to the future.
Always
of
moving
Tim
forward.
Chung.
Yeah. Always just, yeah, keep moving forward. Just make vids, to quote Peter McKinnon.
Anyways, that's been a good episode.
Yep.
Let us know if you have any questions. We have a website, timelinepodcast.co.uk. Also an Instagram account at timelinepodcast. DM us, let us know if there's any more specific topics within YouTube you would like us to talk about, or if there's questions that you would like us to ask YouTube creators specifically, and we'll be happy and hopefully we can ask them and get them answered.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a long list. We're not going to name any names, but we've got a long list of people that we want on this podcast. And I've actually had people reach out to me being like, yo, can I be on?
I hope they're good people.
No, they're a lot of people, very exciting people. The future is bright. the future post-COVID is even brighter. But yeah, stick with us. As Tim said, reach out to us on the socials. We are online and we are ready to hear what you want us to talk about. So thank you very much for listening to this episode.
Have a nice day and
yep, we'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.